Cats Nation, get ready, because it's time for some Drake mayhem with Fitzy and Chime on WEEI.
There are a lot of fans here in the UK who are yet to have an NFL team that they support and devote their lives to. What is your message for those new fans? Why should they be supporting the Patriots?
First off, I think it comes in the team name, you know, New England. I think it's easy for, you know, UK fans to, you know, be attracted to that. You know, our colors are pretty sweet. You know, I think they represent a lot of different things. And then from there, just kind of the excitement from the team. I think we got, you know, we're on the come up and we got a lot of things to look forward to, a lot of bright futures ahead. So shout out to all the fans that are already Patriot fans over here and look forward to having some more.
I mean, Shime, do you want to be the one to tell them that's kind of not how it works?
Nope. I will allow my king to say whatever he wants. I'm into it. Enough. I love it.
I just think that is so delightful. And welcome back. This is the Fitzy and Shime show here on WEEI, a beautiful Saturday. Hopefully you guys are doing some of those autumn things. Maybe you're at the head of the Charles today. Maybe you rode. Maybe you're watching. Maybe you're at a tailgate. Maybe you're on your way to a football game. Who knows? The youth sports movement is on. So many wonderful things to do, and we are very grateful for however we may provide some Saturday beautiful autumn sports companion radio. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number if you want to jump in. I just think it is so charming. It is so hilariously offbeat for Drake May to say, like, well, you know, I feel like he's not trying to be clever. This is not him trying to be sassy or, you know, goofy with the international media assembled for Pat's Jags. Like, I think that's just the first thing that came to the top of the dome for him. Just like, oh, you know, it's right there in the name New England. Okay, so Drake, we're called the Patriots. The Patriots are the ones who actually fought the Brits to get them out of what they would eventually call New England.
Don't tell them.
So
that.
If anything, we probably should be the team that they don't like. However,
yeah, but England's in the name, Fitzy.
It's in the name. I get it. It's that simple. But at the same time, it was pretty much more the history of the New England Patriots and their unparalleled success of the double dynastic run with international games, streaming, a lot of Monday night football, Sunday night football that created the fan base over there. And for anyone who's never been, it is not unusual to be loved by anyone, because I love me some Tom Jones, also a British piece of musical royalty. But it's not unusual to see somebody in a Patriots jersey with a Cowboys scarf and a Chargers hat, because they do pick teams the same way. Like when you're a child, you decide you're a Fulham fan or an Everton fan, or you're a Tottenham fan or Man City, and that's it. It's your team for life. And they do the same thing with NFL teams as far as their fandom goes. However, they celebrate the entire product, and they're grateful to go to any game they possibly can, be it at the Spur or Wembley or wherever.
Yeah, I think the crowd tomorrow is going to be awesome. It's going to be electric. I hope that the English Patriot fans come out. And if they do support now because Drake made the little joke like that, mm-hmm. I'm all here for it. Respect.
Okay, so let me ask you this before I get to this point that I've been holding on to. I know you wanted to sort of get into this. We've talked about what would be a successful season for Drake May going forward. Just obviously staying healthy and staying upright, developing, facing all kinds of defenses. In his first start, he faced one of the most ferocious pass rushes in the NFL and did pretty darn good against it, all things considered, putting up the most points the Patriots have scored in a game all season, and probably the most points that someone has scored against the Texans as well. So what is your definition, Shime, for tomorrow, a successful day for your boy, Drake May?
I think the New England Patriots have to score 27 points. More than 25. I'll set the line at more than 25. So it has to be 26 or more.
Okay, I was going to go over 23.5.
Yeah, I need more than
last week at least.
I need more than 25. I need you to be like pushing 30 here. That to me is a successful week. However you get there, I'm not really going to complain about it. I just think the offense as a whole, as a unit, needs to put up more than 25 points. That to me screams success against a really bad Jacksonville defense. And even if you lose the game, 31-27, that's fine. I don't care. I need to see you as an offense put up more than 25 points. To me, that screams success. That means Drake had a good day. The offensive line was pretty good. Ramondre was good. Everybody was good. That's what that screams to me.
I would feel if tomorrow at 3:30, we start at 12:30, we start the Six Rings postgame show, and we're talking about 30-27, 34-31, 30-28, whatever, and it's a squeaker, a nail biter. If the Patriots win, I'd feel even better, though I'm sure we'll get lots of calls on the Pats blew it, even though they won't have blown it. That's how twisted things are now in Pats Nation. But if it's a close game like that and the offense drives the field several times, mm-hmm. Drake May has over 250 yards passing, the offense has close to 400 yards. Some might say, like, oh, the Jags are a punching bag. The Jags are a poverty franchise. It's a baby step. It is a baby step. This team needs to learn how to win again.
Agreed.
They don't really know how. They don't have. Talk about, like, the culture of what was Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and Gronk and Matt Light and Logan Mankins and Wes Welker and everyone else that made the double dynastic run so great, the Teddy Bruschis, the Willie McGinnis, the Ninkovich. It's over. It's gone. That culture does not exist anymore. You have banners, you have reminders, you've got souvenirs, you've got memories. But that culture doesn't exist anymore. You have, like, what, one or two guys, three guys on the team that have Super Bowl rings?
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
No, he is. No, he's not. He's probably home drinking Miller Lights tomorrow, and God bless him for it. But no, that doesn't exist anymore. They need to start shaping their own culture. And a win with Drake May on the road when all eyes are on him, Shime's favorite Tupac song. All eyes on me, baby. If that were to happen tomorrow, I think it would go a very long way in his and the team's development.
I agree. I hate the idea that, like, I want the Patriots to lose. I want a better draft pick. It's so dumb. Like, it's so pointless. I want Drake to experience winning. I want him to know what it feels like. I want there to be 2.5 minutes left on the clock. Drake has the ball and he's down by two. Like, that's what I want.
Go.
I want to see him learn how to go down the field with 2 minutes left and put themselves in a position to win the game with a field goal. Whether they hit the field goal or not, I don't care. I just want to see him do it. I want him to have the confidence to know that when it does happen in a season where it does matter and this team is good, that he can do it. And he's familiar with the situation and it's not new or foreign to him. That's what I want. And I think it's so important for him to be in those situations, in those spots, in a shootout. Okay, I can't make a mistake here. I can't turn the football over. I have to continue to be aggressive and push the ball down the field and score points. Otherwise, we're not going to win this game. Like, I want him to feel that weight on his shoulders at times. Not all the time, but in certain spots where I know he's going to be able to rise to the occasion. Because then, later on, down the road in his career, when he finds himself in those spots, he knows he can do it. He's done it before. He's been there. That's what is important about Drake May getting these starts and getting this experience in this season for the Patriots.
Can I get an amen? Indeed, hallelujah. I can. And a hallelujah and a PTL and an LFG. Let's go back to the phones. Matt's in Rhode Island. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's up, guys? If you remember those games in Mexico City and even the ones in Brazil, the playing surfaces were all screwed up. But at Wembley, you're not going to see a pure surface to play on.
Correct.
Which, you know, I'm just throwing that out there because of that Jordan Love situation. But with all the talk about the wide receivers, I'm a huge Kendrick Bourne fan. You know, he's obviously coming back from a long rehabilitation with a knee. I'm hoping to see him get off this Sunday and start playing like he can. All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Matt.
Appreciate the call, Matt. Yeah, it would be nice. This would be his third game back. It would be nice to see Kendrick Bourne have a Kendrick Bourne game, like, you know, 4 or 5 catches, 70 yards and a touchdown. That would be electric. And he'll put on a show for the fans tomorrow. It'll remind him of what it was like in early 2021. You remember that long? He had a great year as Mac's best receiver that year, and I think that's why we all thought the offense was trending in the right direction and he was going to be a big part of the success. Little did he realize there was a place called Patricia's Doghouse that he found his way into. Remember that long touchdown he caught? Mac threw the pick six to Trayvon Diggs. Next play, 75 yards to Bourne.
Yep. Yeah, everybody was trying to tell me, by the way, that was like that's the longest pass play they've seen since the Drake May touchdown we saw this past weekend. And I would just like to reference, Mac didn't throw the ball like 50 yards in the air. It was more like 30 to 35 in the air. And then Kendrick Bourne ran the rest of the way. Yeah. But continue,
Drake,
you need to rephrase it. That was the longest passing play, the longest passing airtime.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking about air yards. I want to know how long the ball traveled in the air. Yeah, and Drake May blows that out of the water.
Oh, 100%. Last week, again, the 50 yards to Booty, it traveled 51 yards. It was one of only three touchdown passes in the last 5 years. It was just absolutely perfect.
I think I still feel the floor shaking from Shimes up, jumping up and down.
That thing was just tossed right in a bucket. I think Greg said it this week. It was like when you brought out the old trash cans as a kid and you had to throw from like way far away and try and get it in the trash can. Even if you played baseball, like they'd do that down at home plate, right? They'd stick the trash can and from the outfield, you'd have to try and gun it into that. That's exactly what Drake May did, and he did it flawlessly. Ugh.
Just in case people can't tune into the latter part of the program, and if you can't, make sure that, of course, you have the Odyssey app, subscribe to the podcast for the Saturday afternoon show. Always happy to share our audio with you when it's convenient for your listening occasion. Just in case people can't listen to the later part of the program, Shime, and I'm sure maybe this will be shared again on socials and tomorrow morning as well, who would be your best pick for an anytime touchdown reception for the Patriots tomorrow?
Hunter Henry. I don't even think it's close for me. That has been he's been the guy I've been locked in on all week. I think tight ends have had a lot of success against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and Hunter Henry is kind of ready to have another big week similar to that. Not quite as much as that Seattle week, but similar to that with Drake May this week. I love Hunter Henry this week.
Let's see this kind of season he's putting up. A very Hunter. That was his first touchdown of the season.
Great year for him so far.
Everybody fed last week and had themselves a good time. See the positive effect that this. He's only got 19 catches, 221 yards, and a touchdown. I could easily see 6 for 63 and a touchdown tomorrow.
Absolutely. I think that's very much in the realm of possibility. And by the way, +250 to score a touchdown.
That right there. Very nice. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. When we come back, our pal Justin Turpin from WEEI.com and every place else that we're possibly associated here at Odyssey Boston will join us. It's time to take a quick look at the Boston Celtics, who begin their title defense and their pursuit of Banner 19 this very week. I think they actually have a better team than last year. And in an NBA that is now starting to reek of that NFL-style parity, I think they got a damn good shot. Terp's going to tell us why and catch us up on everything else green. But before that, let's catch you up on everything trending in sports with Joe Braverman.
And so it's not about, you know, the necessary term skipping steps, because we can go out there every day and make sure we focus on the fundamentals. It comes down to, can you translate them under to high duress moments individually and together and build that mindset? That doesn't mean that, like, we're going to have difficult moments of the season. Like, that's going to happen. You know, people are going to say the target's on our back, but I hope it's right in our forehead in between our eyes. I hope I can see the red dot.
Boy, talk about a man who went from, I don't get this guy, I don't think he's the right fit, to, that's my coach and I love him. Joe Mazzulla right there with one of the sound bites of the offseason, an offseason that was spent in celebration and preparation. Celebration from Banner 18 and what a grand time it was back in June. Here in the greatest sports city in America with the Celtics defeating the Mavs in 5. But at the same time, the preparation is underway for the Celtics to defend the crown and get themselves Banner 19. All the while, they're sitting in the prime of two of the best players of the NBA, one of which just won himself a gold medal halfway across the world. The other one was frustrated being left off that roster as well. The coaches entrenched themselves. And by the way, the franchise is for sale. So many questions, even though there really shouldn't be, surrounding the Celtics, and there's no one better around these parts to chop it up with and help preview the season than our guy who literally does everything. He is the flex seal of Odyssey Boston and WEEI, Justin Turpin. Turp, dude, you're the best. You came into studio for the preview.
I did. I was right across the street at the RBAC Center, so I just walked on over here.
Made it nice and easy. I love that. Absolutely. What were you doing over at the RBAC Center?
A little practice today for the Celtics.
How'd they look? Tell me.
Well, we don't see much at practice, but, you know, Jaylen Brown was there for like an hour after practice, just still getting up shots. So they seem motivated. They seem ready to go. Just listening to them today.
All right. So let's just sort of walk it back a little bit. So they win, then everyone goes off and does their thing, and then there's the controversy surrounding Jaylen Brown not being selected to the Olympic roster. Like, hey, how come everyone else gets invited to the party? Like, aren't I like one of the best 15 or 20 players in the NBA, but it's Drew Holiday, it's Jason Tatum, and it's Derek White that go overseas and a little social media feud and whatever. They come back, they win. Then Tatum ends up kind of the worst for wear of it all because Jaylen Brown's probably happy he didn't go so he didn't have to get DNP'd by Steve Kerr. So there were some interesting storylines that came out of that, Terp. What's the sort of mental state of the team right now, as in, like, got something to prove, knowing that the target is on them, and how confident are they that they should be able to pursue a repeat of the championship?
Yeah, it's a total clean slate for them. It's a total reset. And Joe Mazzulli was talking about it today, and I really like this quote from him where he kept saying the 2024-25 Celtics are not great yet, and he really emphasized the yet part. Last year, they were great. They haven't accomplished anything this year. It's a complete reset. They've completely forgotten about the banner. I mean, once it goes up, they'll have that moment pregame, but as soon as that ball's tipped off, it's time to go, and it's a new season, and it's about repeating the success. It's not about kind of defending the title. It's about doing it again.
So one of the things I've noticed leading up to the season so far has been Tatum. He looks like he almost has like a new bag of tricks ready to go for this season. What have you seen from him, heard from him so far that gets you excited for this season?
Yeah, the big thing was the three-point shot. Everyone talked about that all offseason. It was a big magnifying glass on that because he shot terribly in the finals, really throughout the postseason, missed all of his shots in the Olympics. And the shot just seems more fluid now. It looks that hitch is gone. It looks better. And he shot really close to what we're used to seeing from him, which is right around the league average in the preseason. So that's exciting to see, because if he can be confident in all areas of his game, it's dangerous for the rest of the league. We see how dangerous he is. And especially during the finals, where he was working as a facilitator, he was grabbing rebounds, he was doing all the little things really that add up. And he led the team in every statistical category during the finals. It was the one knock on him was his three-point shooting. And he's a good three-point shooter. I mean, we've seen it throughout his career that he can knock down three. So it's not a surprise to see him climb back to where we're used to seeing him at. So I think that's huge if he can knock down those three-pointers, because he's confident right now going into the year.
So you mean he finally put up a hoop in his driveway, unlike during COVID?
Yes, finally. Must have.
He built one for himself. After he built one for Deuce.
Yeah, him and Deuce are out there just yucking up threes all over the place.
It's pretty cool in the backyard. It's called, like, Deuce Land.
That's kind of awesome.
He's posted the pictures. That's a different place at my house.
That's kind of awesome. God, Fitzy.
What? I got two kids. You can't go. Especially
I'm familiar with Deuce Land.
Yeah, I was going to say, with one of the kids homesick yesterday with a stomach virus. God. Yeah, no, I know. All right, I didn't need to take it there. Whatever. Our guy Justin Turpin from .com and all over the dial here at EEI is sitting with us doing a little Celtics preview. So, Turp, obviously, as is the case every year in any sport, let alone the NBA, one team wins the championship and then a bunch of other people load up, reload, set their eyes and sights on that team. You know, we're going to take them down. It almost becomes, it's not like we didn't build our best team possible. It's we tried to build our team to take them down, which I think is a little short-sighted, kind of like the way we all liked Mazzulla saying, we're not great yet. It's not about trying to be the team we were last year. We have to be a new team and continue the success, not just duplicate who we were last year. So of all the teams that have tried to tinker with their roster to take down the Celtics, who in either conference do you think is a legitimate threat at this point, and who do you think is kind of fool's gold?
Looking at the Eastern Conference, I do lean the Knicks. I think the Cat trade did make them better, and there's been a lot of mixed reviews on that, but I did think it makes them better. I think he's a great three-point shooter. He's a great floor spacer. So he does add a little bit something, but it's about the fit there. I mean, we already saw him and Tom Thibodeau have issues before. And how are they willing to adjust their system? Are they willing to kind of mix things up? Because they're going to have to, because they got new talent. But when you're looking at the Eastern Conference, I mean, the Celtics won the East by 14 games last year.
Yeah, they crushed.
And it was the greatest disparity since 1975. Like,
damn,
they were that good last year. They just blew doors off the Eastern Conference. So I'm not expecting 14 games, but is Cat, if like you're looking at like a baseball war stat, is Cat 14 games wins above replacement? Like, is
probably
it really
going
to make that much of a difference? Like, I think the Celtics are going to steam through the East again. I don't know about 14 games, but
what about the Sixers? Yeah.
The Sixers, we've seen this before with the Sixers. Like, they tried it with Jimmy Butler. They tried it in a way with Ben Simmons. They tried it with James Harden. They've always tried these stars, and it really hasn't worked out. And Paul George already has a knee injury there already, so that's kind of alarming. So I'm not really worried about the Sixers. I do give them credit, though, because Nick Nurse has been there. He's won a championship in recent years, so you have the championship-winning coach. It's like, can Joel Embiid ever get out of the second round?
Hey, Bob, shut up!
You talked about like just steamrolling through the East again this year. Do you think they'll get off to a ridiculously hot start again, even without Porzingis? Like, what is the timeline with that, do you think, and everything going on there?
I do think they get off to a fast start, really, because the beginning of their schedule is wide open. It's pretty easy going for them. And it's kind of a staple with Joe Mazzulla teams, these fast starts. Even the first year he took over. I mean, they were the best team in basketball up until the All-Star break in his first year. Last year, they were best team in basketball start to finish. So
yeah, wire to wire.
It's been a staple of their teams led by Joe Mazzulla to get off to fast start. So I fully expect that this year, especially with the way they're approaching the season. Like, they did not mess around during the preseason. They came out, showed this is the same old Celtics, and they're ready to go. I thought they looked ready to go from the second game in Abu Dhabi, and then that only continued throughout the preseason. So I think they're going to hit the ground running and be ready to go early on.
Yeah, no, they have looked they have looked absolutely terrific thus far. But again, like, you know, that's the preseason. How many times do we see teams look great in the preseason and then, you know, not turn it around in the regular season? I couldn't help but wonder, Terp, and they look great now, which allays a little bit of the concern. One of the ones I had way back in the spring and into the summer with so many, like, three members of the Celtics who played a full season and then almost another third of a season. And then they had to prepare for, and then they traveled to, and then they partook in the Olympics to whatever various degree they did between three of your core members in Jrue Holiday, Derek White, and Jason Tatum. Do we think there's going to be any, like, 100-and-something basketball games played to win a championship and a gold medal hangover for some of those guys? Like, they may be fired up and feisty now, but then their legs won't be the same late October, early November as they would be?
I totally get the fear with that, but I'm not really worried about it. I mean, they're in the athletic prime of their lives, right? With Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, they're right at the age that, you know, they're kind of invincible to that stuff as long as they stay healthy. But I totally do understand it. I could see them managing Jrue Holiday's minutes a little bit. I mean, going into, what, his 16th season in the league. So I can see him really being kind of cautious there. They did it with the preseason where he was playing lesser minutes. So I'm not really concerned about it just because of the ages they're at. And I think they're motivated, and that's a huge thing because we've seen the power of motivation with this team before and how they perform under those circumstances. So I'm not really concerned about it.
So this parlays perfect into my next question, because you mentioned limiting Jrue Holiday possibly a little bit here. You know, he is getting older. I know you're a betting man like myself.
That's right.
I look at the sixth man of the year award. Is there any value in Peyton Pritchard 40-1 this year?
I think there absolutely is.
Let's go. That's what I like to hear, Turk. That's what I'm talking about, baby.
He got married. What an offseason for this guy.
This guy has had quite the offseason. I was actually trying to work on a piece for the .com about that, just a realistic case, because I was looking at it. If he could average the Malcolm Brogdon numbers on a good team, like Brogdon won it 2 years ago, he's absolutely in the running. So I think he's definitely going to make noise, and he's also going to see an increased role because of guys like Jrue Holiday being limited. He's going to see more minutes with Kristaps being out. So
absolutely.
He's going to have time on the court to prove himself. So I think there's absolutely value there. And he's obviously, like, one of the most impactful bench players in the league already. Now, coming off the finals, he hits that big shot. The Celtics are going to have eyes on him all year long. Just the idea that people are going to be tuned in on the Celtics also helps him his case.
Well, so that's kind of what I was looking at, right? It's like, okay, the Celtics have a chance to be wire-to-wire the best team in basketball again. Check for him. When he comes off the bench, he shoots a lot of threes, which means scoring in bunches. Check for him. He also is great on the assist numbers. That's another check for him. He may not be huge on rebounds, but that's okay. You need really two out of the three. And so if you're getting, you know, limited time from guys like Jrue Holiday, even kind of pivoting out Derek White, or those smaller lineups with Kristaps not being there and you're playing more like even like Tatum at the five and really kind of getting small, that means more time for Pritchard. And so I felt like there was an opportunity there at 40-1. I mean, that's a pizza money long
shot,
right?
Great odds.
You know, you toss $10 to win $400. I'm in. Like, that's you can't get much better than that.
Yeah, I'm all in on it. I really do think there's a case. And again, just because there's going to be so many eyes on the Celtics, and he's proven to be reliable coming off the bench. And really, he turned it up last year, and I think people are starting to realize how valuable he is to this team. And he's proven to be worth that contract and then some. That's, in terms of bargain deals, that is a steal in the NBA.
Hell yeah.
Justin Turpin is with us here talking Celtics. If you want to ask Turp a question about the Celtics or weigh in with your Celtics thoughts, he can be reached just like our program here, 617-779-7937. Anyone who had any Lonnie Walker props and whatnot, season-long bets on the Celtics, you may want to see if you can get a refund on those. He was waived earlier today. So there's that. I don't think that's really going to make any waves. But when you look at the Celtics, like, I'm looking at the Celtics roster right now. This is a team whose bench and then like 10th and 11th guys would probably fight for and earn minutes on a lot of other rosters. How deep do you expect, even with Porzingis being out until Are we using Christmas as the barometer, sort of, Terp, or like the fulcrum?
That's kind of that's the circle on the calendar there.
Okay, that's the circle date in the calendar. Even with Porzingis out for a while, like, this is such a deep roster. Do you expect guys like, we'll say, like Walsh and Shireman, are they going to make any impact this year?
Walsh is definitely going to make an impact. I think he's going to fill that O'Shea Brissett role, and it's an important role. I know O'Shea didn't play a ton last year, but when he was in, he swung games. I mean, look at game two against the Pacers. He came in at the end of that first quarter, fueled a big run just from his energy and the way he played defense, the way he grabbed rebounds, and that's what Jordan Walsh has to do. And he showed a lot in the preseason. I was really encouraged by him. I thought he was the biggest bright spot of the preseason, just his ability to play under control. I mean, it was night and day compared to what he did in the summer league. I mean, the summer league was atrocious, and he admitted it yesterday at practice that just wasn't acceptable, that performance. So he really turned things around, and that was really the only hole in the rotation is who was going to fill that O'Shea Brissett minutes. And it was only like 700 when you include postseason, anywhere between 700 and 800. It wasn't a big role, but again, it's important. It's a guy that next wing up when you guys are shorthanded, who steps up and who can provide solid minutes, just doing the little things. He's not going to come off the bench and score 20. It's not his job. It's to come in, play defense, grab rebounds, and just be a connector. And that's what he did in the preseason. So I'm excited to see what he can do this year, because I think he's going to have a role.
So you bring up those rebounding minutes. Is there a chance this team gets bullied a little bit by those bigger, stronger teams? Like, you look at teams with guys like Rudy Gobert and stuff who are going to get up there without Porzingis on the floor. Is there any way they get bullied by those teams, or do you just think that Tatum and Brown are just so good that it doesn't really matter?
I think across the board, they're just a great rebounding team. And that's a really big emphasis from Joe Mazzulla. He wants his teams, to, especially on the offensive glass, to crash, because I think they don't do a great job turning the ball. They don't force many turnovers.
Yeah.
So Joe Mazzulla wants to make up with that by grabbing offensive rebounds, crashing the board. So I think just across the board, they're all great rebounders. So they can make up for it there. But I can see like bigger teams maybe getting the best of them, but they weren't out-rebounded much last year. Mm-hmm. They really do a good job on the boards because it's such a focal point in Mazzulla's philosophy.
That's a heck of a game to start the season with, too, with the Knicks coming.
I can't wait.
I think that's just an awesome.
I can't wait to lay the 5 points with the Boston Celtics.
That's all it is.
Yeah, it's all it is right now. It's currently Celtics by five.
That's going to be
a
banger.
That's it? It's only Celtics by... I mean, I know the Knicks gave them fits the last couple. Like, played them really... I would say of any team that played them well, that played them tight, I agree. It was the Knicks, and they're probably their closest threat. Although...
They're still 1-4 against them last year. In the one game the Knicks won, the starters didn't play the second half. So wow. Celtics had their number last year. Yeah. They played them well. They did play them well. They gave them, look, opening night last year. I mean, it took Kristaps kind of exploding there at the end. But they played them tough, but they couldn't beat them.
Yeah.
And what for the Bucks, man? Like, are they never just going to figure this out? Did they ruin their own chemistry by improving ours?
Yeah, I don't know what they were thinking. But what a disaster it's been. Like, they thought they had the coach with Adrian Griffin. They brought in Dame. It's like all things are pointing towards the... back to the championship, and then just crashed.
It has been all downhill since that title.
It has been brutal. And then Giannis was talking about at Media Day that him and Dame didn't work out at all together during the offseason.
That doesn't make any sense. Why would you do
not work? That's ridiculous.
That's insane. Like, if you're a Bucks fan, and then Middleton's not healthy, like,
he's never healthy
over there.
Like, that is a mess.
Which is unfortunate, because I really like watching him play, but what a disaster it's been over there. It's funny, when people talk about the hierarchy of the East, nobody's talking about the Bucks.
No, nobody could care.
Celtics, Knicks, Sixers.
Nope.
It's just
haven't
no
been mentioned a single time as
is
well.
Is there a team that you think might surprise us out of the East this year that could, like, just not necessarily pose a threat to the Celtics, but could be a bit of a frisky opponent?
Is Indiana for real? Are they going to?
That's a good question, Joe Braverman.
I look Cleveland. At Cleveland. Okay. And I think Brad Stevens kind of tipped his hand a little bit in the NBA GM survey, because you had to pick teams to win the Eastern Conference. Every team picked the Celtics, except for one, picked Cleveland. And you can't vote for your own team.
So it had to have been Brad Stevens.
So Brad Stevens picked the Cavs. And I think right. I think that Cavs team, now with the new coach, J.B. Bickerstaff out, I think they could turn some heads. I mean, they were good last year. They just couldn't stay healthy. And like, Jared Allen was on the floor. They were great last year. So I'm excited to see
them. He's a walking double-double.
Oh, yeah, he's a beast. I loved him in Brooklyn, too. And I mean, another year with Donovan Mitchell. There's no worry about where he's going, because that was kind of a dark cloud over their season last year. Where is Donovan Mitchell going? Is he going to be here? And he talked about that, where it's kind of like, we don't have to ask the media day questions this year. Where is Donovan going to play? He's going to be there. So I look at Cleveland. I also look at Indiana. I think they were a good team, and they did it without Haliburton in the final. Like, that was the best team the Celtics played in the postseason. And
didn't they even
them.
Come out and say that was their toughest match?
Yeah, yeah, they've talked about it openly. I mean, that was the best team they played. And, again, they swept them, but they were close. I mean, Jaylen in game one hits the big three, ties the game. Game two, they were down big entering the third quarter. Uh-huh. So, I mean, That was a good team, so I'm excited to see them. But I think it's Cleveland, and Brad Stevens seemingly agrees.
Nice. Love that.
Terp, senior moment here. What was the name of that guard for the Pacers who, once Halliburton went out, like found an entirely new gear
Andrew and Nembhard.
Made it? Yeah, made a name Nembhard, for himself and right. got
TJ
paid.
TJ McConnell, too.
Yeah, he might be on the Celtics killers list. I'd have to look into a little bit more, but I feel like he always plays well against the Celtics.
617-779-7937. We're talking some Celtics, getting ready for the tip-off this week against the New York Knickerbockers Tuesday at 7:30 as Banner 18 is hoisted to the rafters, and we look into the season as well. We'll get some of Terp's thoughts on the Patriots as well. When we come back, it's Fitzy and Shime with a side of Terp, produced by Braverman here on EEI.
Do you have a favorite Coach Mazzulla-ism? You know, he really has kind of cemented himself as one of the unique minds in the NBA.
One of Coach Mazzulla's favorite quotes is like, there's no such thing as a foul, either you die or you don't. He just has a bunch of like crazy quotes and mentality. Like one of the things he's coined is like, you know, we call like our offense, or it's like the killer whale offense, and we attack seals because killer whales, like how they hunt seals. And
yeah,
we
they
study,
work together, yeah.
And we study like how killer whales attack as a unit. And then we built our offense kind of like off of like killer whales. So Joe definitely has like a bunch of crazy stuff, but like it's a method to his madness, and it obviously it works.
Oh man, every episode of Hot Ones from the people of
Such
First
a good
Week
show.
It's Shime, it is one of the best shows of the last 10 years as people have gravitated away from traditional television. They only watch TV now for the news, for reality shows, and primarily for sports, as 97 of the top 100 TV shows every year turn out to be NFL broadcasts, which is just bananas. But then you've got all your premium streamers, your Maxes, your Netflixes, your Hulus, your Apple Pluses, etc. And then there are shows that get more viewership on the internet
YouTube,
than any...
Baby.
It's unbelievable. Like, they spend
so good.
How much money on the latest CSI, GFY, LMFAO show or whatever on CBS, Blue Bloods, etc. Millions of dollars an episode. Meanwhile, they spend about $1.37 for an episode of hot. Like, it costs wings, hot sauce, and a car service.
$20.
Yeah, and an Uber to get Jaylen Brown from the hotel to the studio.
Yeah, some royalty-free music in the background, too. Yeah, you bring in guys like Jaylen Brown and Gordon Ramsay and Shaquille O'Neal.
Natalie Portman and whatever.
Yeah, Jennifer Lawrence, Conan O'Brien. Sean Evans is also one of the best interviewers there is. They have so many of those obscurely deep questions about stuff, and people are like, where
it's
did
like
you
romantic.
Find that?
They have the royalty-free music in the back. They're just slowly eating these wings, and he's like talking in such a soft tone.
It's so good.
It is
good.
Great.
Well, the question has to be asked, how would all of us do on that show?
Oh, I would crush. So as someone who's done a hot wing style event during the pandemic, I would while I had COVID, I did it from my house, and I crushed. I am a huge fan of hot products. I love spice. I am a huge fan. I once did, when in Nashville, there's a famous hot chicken place in Nashville
Hattie's.
Called Hattie B's, yep. And their hottest flavor is Shut the Cluck Up. I think that's what it is. Yeah. I had it. It's so hot that the outside of the chicken is legitimately black.
Oh, wow.
And so I had it, and I was actually with some friends yesterday who were with me when I did it. And my friend Shelby was like, "That it was the scariest moment of my life. I've never seen you be unable to talk for 5 minutes." And I was just sitting there sweating and like chewing on ice because they wouldn't give you milk right away. And I'm like, I can't, I got to do this.
Wait, why didn't they give you milk right away?
Well, because I was trying to be like a man about it. Like, I'm like, I had no milk in this business. And
milk, but you said to yourself,
no,
I'm a man.
Any.
I have pride.
I didn't get any ahead of time because I'm like, I am going to challenge myself today.
I'd like to enjoy my wings, though. That's just, that's torture.
Yeah, sure, it is. I enjoyed the other wings first, but I was like, I got it. It's like, it's a once in a lifetime.
They say.
Yeah, exactly. When in Rome.
So, Turp, you would probably crash and burn is what you're saying.
Probably, but I mean, I would just want to say I did it.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to do it.
There's a sense of pride.
I feel like if the three of us were a team in a Hot One style competition, I feel like Shime, you'd be the, like,
I'd be the Terp, anchor.
Yeah, it's, Terp, you would open for us on the very mild. I could rock the medium because I do like a little heat in there as well. And then we'd go to you, Shime, as the closer.
Yeah, then we'd all meet up at Deuceland.
Yep.
And then
toss
and
him then some, we'd toss some hoops.
See, that's weird, Fitzy. I thought you would have been someone like Conan when he was on the on the show, and he was all chaotic and
he's
wild.
He's sticking those chicken wings in his pocket the entire time. Like every time he'd take a buddy back. Oh, this is great. Save some of this for later.
Did you ever see the episode of a TV show my buddy produced, Murderland, the improvised show with Will Arnett?
What's his face? Marshawn Lynch was on an episode of that, correct?
Yes, he was.
And, like, Kumail Nanjiani was on an episode, yep, I think. Yes.
So the first episode was with Conan, and there's a scene where, and the show is entirely improvised, Will Arnett is his partner for the day on that particular mystery is Conan O'Brien, and during the episode, Conan was eating it. They were eating turkey burgers in a diner, and Will Arnett just opens up Conan's turkey burger and pours all of this lava hot sauce on his burger and makes him eat it during the scene. And you can watch Conan slowly melt it down and getting loony. That's exactly how I would be, Braverman. I could handle the heat. I want that smoke, but I would partially put on a show and lose my mind because just being excessively performative is in my nature.
He also has that HBO show, like, Where in the World is Conan? And, like, he just goes
the
around.
The TBS, like, HBO show is phenomenal.
It's so good. It's tremendous. He'll just go to, like, Norway, and he's just, like, walking around Norway, like, meeting people, meeting fans. It was, it's so good. It's so good.
Now, what all this has to do with the Celtics, I have absolutely no idea, but we go from Jaylen Brown on Hot Ones to wanting to
well,
that was perfect. That's good radio
Marshawn
right there.
Lynch, the best Marshawn Lynch video is when he goes to Amish country. Have you seen that one? They bring him over and, like, milk a cow. It is hilarious.
Oh, because I saw the one when he was in either England or Ireland, I think it was, and he's, like, riding around on, like, the tandem bike by himself. Amazing.
He is hysterical.
He is
I'm here, so I won't get fined.
He is tremendous on television. To think he went from that, where he refused to talk to the media, to now having, like, a successful post-playing media career is hilarious.
If he did, like, vlogs, I'd watch him.
Oh, absolutely.
No, he also doesn't, he refuses to take photos with dudes.
Really?
Wait, really?
Yep. No, if you're a dude and you ask him for a selfie, he says, nah, I don't take photos with dudes.
What if I offered him Skittles? Man's
gonna take selfies with mans.
Mans don't take selfies with mans.
Mans don't take selfies with mans.
That might be, put that on a shirt. Oh my God, what an absolute treasure. Well, I think we're all pretty confident in saying I also like back to the hoops real quick. The killer whales thing, like, everything Missoula is so weird. It goes back to Belichick. Everything Belichick is so weird. But when they're winning, it works, and we adopt it, and we love it. And it becomes part of the local parlance and culture in Boston and wherever people bleed green for their basketball. And I love it. And just hearing the killer whales thing, it's so strange, but it's also so Missoula, and that's why we love it.
Well, so I also think that it was weird, too, and I'm curious your thoughts on when they did that, the survey that you mentioned earlier where Brad Stevens had picked the Cavs. They also talked about, like, the best coach in the NBA, and Missoula didn't get a single vote. Is that just because they think his players are so talented that it doesn't matter, or do they just not credit Missoula? Like, what's the deal with that?
That made no sense to me because he got votes for best leader of men as a coach, best offensive scheme and best defensive scheme, but didn't get a vote for coach, best coach.
That's
so he gets
weird.
All these other categories, these subcategories, but doesn't get one for coach. I don't get it. But I do think it, in a way, hurts him, which it shouldn't, but it does hurt him that the team is so talented. Same thing with, like, Jason Tatum's MVP candidacy.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear it every year.
Right.
The best player and the best team should get more credit. It just doesn't happen. And the same thing with Joe. It really, locally, we see how great of a coach he is. Even nationally, you hear guys talk about, like, J.J. Redick is damn near trying to impersonate him as he takes over the Lakers here. He has a lot of respect within the league, but for whatever reason.
So basically, Joe Mazzulla is the Brock Purdy of the NBA.
Yeah,
it's because he's stuck in such an amazing position. Yeah, better version. He's stuck in such an amazing position that everybody discredits what he does because everything else is so good around.
It's
a
perfect cross sport comp. That is a perfect cross sport.
That's what I'm here for. Those lands. So that was
you're welcome. This is what I'm here for.
Yeah, Brock Purdy, by the way, is balling out this year.
So good.
Joe Mazzulla is getting better as a coach, and he's going to continue to be 100% Mazzulla, which would be the name of an awesome Celtics docuseries that I would absolutely watch. Terp, you should get on that. But what's the name of, is Starting Five the name of the Netflix series?
Yeah, it's Tatum, Anthony Edwards, Jimmy Butler.
And Sabonis. Isn't there a doc about the Celtics coming out soon?
Yeah, there is. There's an own one that's
just Wick had said that on our show.
Yeah, that's right.
He said on the Greg Hill show before the season, like in the middle, the beginning of the season, he's like, yeah, we have like Netflix or cameras. I forget what company he said it was by, or
people
he may
were
not
furious
have.
About that because they're covering the team the whole time,
yeah,
even if they didn't win the championship.
Yep. Was that Bill Simmons produced?
No, this is separate. I want to say okay. It was like HBO produced or something. I'm not 100% sure that Wick confirmed what production company it was. I don't think he was allowed to tell us, but he was saying that cameras were following the team. They were doing a Netflix-style documentary, is I believe how he phrased it.
Yeah, I think it was Greater Good Media that did the Starting Five show, and I'm not sure who did the Celtics.
Well, Tom Brady did the one throughout the postseason. They did like Access one, Tom Brady's production company there.
Yeah. Oh, Shadowline?
Shadowline. They did one throughout the whole postseason.
Okay.
It was like a, I think, a five
we
or six
live, months. You know what? It's amazing because we live in a time of nonstop coverage, excessively glorious content. And I got to tell you, every time I get a chance to watch some of those documentaries where I can relive those glorious moments and get a fresh new perspective, Shime, it's got me feeling nicey.
Oh.
And that's where we're going next, Terp.
Yes,
an amazing job, buddy. Awesome,
thank you,
awesome
Terp.
Work. Thanks for coming in and helping us get a hold of the season. I think we're all picking the Celtics to run it back in the Eastern Conference again this year, suffice to say.
That's right. That's right. Thanks for having me, guys. That was fun. Go Pats.
And absolutely. Go Pats. Drake Mania setting in tomorrow across the pond. Terp, where can the people follow you as well? Give them the socials.
You can get me at Justin M. Turpin on Twitter, at Justin.Turpin on Instagram. Listen to the Slam podcast, too. Great podcast.
Well
Celtics
done.
Podcast.
Yeah, it's you and Mego?
That's right. And nice. Esteban Bustillos from GBH. So
awesome.
Tune in. Yeah, really
outstanding. Great job, Turp. We'll see you soon, buddy.
All right, see you guys.
I owe you a lot of Gansets. 617-779-7937 is the number. When we come back, what's got us feeling nicey? That's next here on EEI.